Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning again, folks. Steve Williamson here.
Mike Costantino.
Yeah, Mike Costantino. We have a call-in guest from Phoenix. Mike will introduce him. He's the communication director of the Arizona Democratic Party, and he's been in broadcasting on radio and TV for a long time,
right,
Mike?
A long time, 28 years at KTVK, the Channel 3 down there. Good morning, Frank. You there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you started in radio, as a matter of fact.
Many, many years ago, yes, at all-news station in Glendale, as a matter of fact.
Well, some of us that were at Luke Air Force Base in 1969 and have been in Arizona since then.
You were vacationing at Luke.
Yeah, I was vacationing at Luke. And they gave me this green outfit to wear. It was great. And a blue one, too. But but Frank is one of those rare breeds, Arizona native. And went to work at the became a newsman for a very long time. Yeah, you left as weekend anchor at KTVK, as I recall.
Yes. Reporter. I did a lot of political reporting.
And that's had to be interesting. But you've done a little bit of. You're a community development manager in your past, and
right.
And so, what was it like to have seen? One of the things we're going to talk about in the show today is the Arizona legislature, of course, because it's of no end of interest for some of its odd behavior, if nothing else, but in our opinion. But
we're still a great material for the comedy shows. I mean, Colbert and Jon Stewart have just been having great fun with Arizona. I mean, we're on almost every night now for some sort of wacko
proposal.
Yeah,
we're the meth lab of democracy.
Meth lab of democracy.
That's a great term.
Yeah.
Go ahead. But anyway, let's talk about some of the changes. Let's work backwards here. I know you have some issues, and as we all do with the current Arizona legislature, we have some, as far as I'm concerned, some great Democratic legislators and Chad Campbell and a few others. So go ahead. Tell us what legislation is coming up from the Democratic Party and what's going on down at the Arizona legislature.
Well, one of the biggest things that we're most concerned about, and before I go on, I just want to say thank you to all the Democrats in the Red Rock country, because we have asked through our email blast for folks to write their the House Speaker and the Senate President to give some of the especially the gun legislation bills a public hearing, and they have responded very, very well and very enthusiastically to our calls for assistance.
That's so the Republicans are not even allowing a hearing on the Democratic bills that are being introduced.
And that's, I think, is a real travesty of democracy, because these bills, regardless of what your approach is to reducing gun violence, there are some very sound proposals that have been put forth by Representative Campbell and Senator Linda Lopez from the Tucson area, and neither one is going to get heard, at least as of now. Senate President Andy Biggs and House Speaker Andy Tobin have refused to even assign these bills to either assign them to committees or have scheduled any kind of public hearing for these bills. And we think that's a travesty, because whether or not you agree with it, they deserve a public hearing. As the President said in the State of the Union address, they deserve a vote. And here in Arizona, where we know firsthand because of the Gabby Gifford shooting and the I mean, you talk about how long ago I go back. I mean, I remember the Buddhist temple shootings where, I believe it was about 8 or 9 priests and nuns from the Buddhist temple were slaughtered. We're not talking about taking away anybody's guns. What we're saying is that these are very common sense approaches to reducing gun violence. And, you know, try to keep the guns out of the hands of the, for instance, the mentally ill. It's a natural pathway kind of approach to all of this. What are the bills like?
I mean, what are the bills that they're not getting a hearing? That,
well, for instance, one of them would close the gun show loophole, which it's seen all the polling shows nationwide and in the Western states has a lot of support. It's a very simple kind of thing to do. It's taking measures to make sure that the mentally ill, you know, a quick background check to make sure a mentally ill person does not have access to a lot of weapons. One of them would be very simple, to revive the school resource officer program throughout the state.
Excellent program.
Yeah, excellent program, and it was fell victim to the budget cuts of several years ago. Well, we now have a little bit extra few bucks here in the state, and it's worth the cost of trying to put some school resource officers to revive the program. And we have to have a hearing on that. We have to debate these. We have to look at them, find out if we can make them better. Let's make them better. But we're not going to do that unless they get a public hearing.
And part of the strategy,
I think, is one of the real injustices of this session.
Part of the strategy of the Democratic Party is to organize, to get people that care about this issue to contact. Andy Tobin is from the Speaker of the House.
Right.
Is our representative, and you
exactly.
have even more right to contact him.
Oh, exactly, and you know, it's they like to say so often, and I don't disbelieve them. I think they are sincere in this, but they're out to protect the taxpayers. They want to do right by the citizens. Well, this is one of their basic duties: is to if enough of us call them and say we want to have a hearing, at least a hearing on these bills.
Yes.
Do you have an estimate of what it would cost? I mean, Sedona has a school resource officer at the high school. What would it cost? Is this a bill? What would it cost the taxpayers approximately?
Yeah, I don't have the figures right in front of me, but it's something like $3 to $5 million, I believe, something like that. It's not necessarily a very a large expenditure, but we have the money in the budget already. I mean, we do have the money available to do it if we just need the will to spend the money to try and develop this program.
What would be the argument against not having a hearing on a bill to put in school resource officers?
Well, I can tell you this. I really don't know what exactly the hearing or the problem is. I do know that Speaker Tobin expressed a great deal of consternation over the fact that the manner in which Representative Campbell, who is the House Minority Leader, put forth these bills. He's upset, if you take him at his word, he's upset because the minority leader didn't call him, didn't talk about it, give him a heads up that this was coming. So, you know, I don't think there's any secret that there's really no great love lost between Mr. Tobin and Mr. Campbell. But, you know, quite frankly, as a taxpayer, not speaking as a Democrat, now speaking as a taxpayer, I don't really care if Mr. Tobin and Mr. Campbell don't get along. I mean, it's like you guys settle that elsewhere. But this is an issue that deserves to be heard, and let's hear it. And as far as I can tell, it's Mr. Tobin who's really, I mean, let's face it, maybe I am putting on my partisan hat right here, but it's a bit childish when you consider what is at stake, the safety of our kids. I mean, let's at least give the bill a hearing. Come on.
Yeah, in Gabby Gifford's home state, you think the legislature would at least be talk about a bill such as this on the floor of the Arizona State Legislature? It's,
yeah, let's come on, grow up. Let's give these bills a hearing. Another big issue that's coming up, right now we're not sure where exactly it's what its future holds, and that is expansion of the Medicaid program. That is a very important issue to the future of the state. This is expansion under the Affordable Health Care Act. There are some, I think Jan Brewer, the governor, surprised everyone when she included it in her State of the State address. She expressed her support for it and her plans to move it forward. I think she caught a lot of her fellow Republicans unaware. I know she caught a lot of Democrats by surprise with that announcement. But it does make good economic sense. It is a principally because not only are we getting a good return on Arizona tax dollars that go back to Washington, they're going to get returned. I've heard some estimates of up to 10 to 1 return on our investment. But more importantly, what it's going to do is make sure that a quarter of a million Arizonans are going to get health care. That 50,000 childless adults are going to get health care. And it could provide some relief. And I think that's one of the big selling points from the Arizona Hospitals Association is that it is going to perhaps save regional medical centers throughout the state, including in some of the larger ones in Phoenix and Tucson.
Oh, absolutely.
That are just getting bombarded with folks who with no insurance, who are going to the emergency rooms.
Talk to the directors, talk to the board members of the Verde Valley Medical Center, and they will tell you that without access, full payments, without access as it was running in the last few years, they will have to close their doors. That they depend on that money to keep their hospital doors open.
I guess cynically, I suspect that Governor Brewer is supporting the proposal not so much because it's going to help all these folks who don't have medical insurance, as because it brings in millions and millions of dollars into Arizona, and there are the hospitals and the doctors, everything. All these guys want to get paid for their services. They don't want to be stuck with guys wandering into the emergency room with no insurance.
Yeah, if I were a resident of Verde Valley, I would be very concerned about the future of any kind of medical center there. I mean, if they're saying that they're going to have to close, I mean, it's not an idle threat. I mean, if you just have to look at what is going on with folks, uninsured folks using the hospital and regional medical centers, emergency rooms as their clinics, it's they're doing it. And getting back to your point about Governor Brewer and her motives, I don't really know if it's political or not. I know it's political. I'm not really concerned about it as much as you know what, it's the right thing.
It's the right thing to do.
Because we've
got
a lot of people who do not have health insurance. I mean, we saw some statistics that indicate, believe it or not, in this day and age, 1 in 5 Arizonans do not have health insurance.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's not your place as a communication director to go to Jan Brewer's emotes,
but it's important to note that Jan Brewer's approval is not. I mean, I have to admit, when I saw that Jan Brewer was supporting this, I said, "Oh, great!" You know, but the legislature has to. I mean, there's more that needs to be done before people start getting the care.
And again, this is what we've understood that's going on with a lot of these lawmakers. I mean, I've been told by many Democratic legislators that some in the leadership months ago expressed, oh no, this is never going to happen. I know that Andy Biggs is not a fan even of access. He calls it socialized medicine. And we can get into all this. We can debate it philosophically maybe later. But right now, when you have a leak, a huge leak in the dam that threatens to inundate a whole area, we got to take care of that right away. And I think that's what we have right now as far as health care is concerned.
This is probably the bill or that most deeply affects Arizona, and that affects the health of our economy.
Oh, yeah.
We have millions of older folks here.
And again, what they're doing from what we're hearing behind the scenes, the Republicans are using it pretty much as a political ploy. Some of the legislators who are saying, okay, Governor, if you want expansion of access, we want to put it in the budget bill. We want to do a lot of the legislative games that they play in order to jeopardize the votes. And what we're asking is that they just do a straight up and down vote. Don't cloud the issue with any kind of outside special interests or any of this legislative game of chance. Let's just put the access expansion, put it in a bill, and put it for an up and down vote from all lawmakers.
Nice, clear,
so that we as taxpayers, we know, we can remember going to vote for it and who's going to vote against it, and they have to explain why they're voting against it, if in fact they do. And those who support it, they also have to explain why they're voting for it, so that we know, all of us know, exactly where our lawmakers stand on this. And I think that's just transparency in government, and that's what we deserve.
And that's what transparency in government means, is who voted for what. Let's step away from the quagmire of the Arizona legislature for a moment and get into the quagmire of Arizona politics. Let's talk about what we got coming up here in the Arizona Democratic Party. It's people are starting, it's February, but people in 2013, but people are starting to announce for the statewide offices. Fred Duvall is announced for governor.
He filed his papers with the Secretary of State to set up an exploratory committee, which comes as no surprise. Mr. Duvall had been talking about this for quite some time. He's a very capable, very bright, energetic, has a great deal of ideas. He would make a wonderful governor for Arizona. We're lucky in that we have a number of very good candidates potentially for the governorship. Not only Fred Duvall, but Chad Campbell, the House Minority Leader, has been talking about he's seriously considering a run at the governorship. Plus, we've heard that Dr. Richard Carmona is contemplating a possible run. Any way you cut it, we've got three very good candidates, very strong candidates, which would really give Arizonans a good alternative to the what we would call the lack of leadership, lack of responsive leadership.
Who's running on the other side
in the past 4 years?
Who's going to run on the other side?
I'm sorry?
Who's going to run on the other side? Who's going to,
There's no less. We've heard that Ken Bennett, the Secretary of State, is contemplating a run.
Sure.
Ken Bennett sort of took a flyer, I guess, at being a birther there for a while.
Birther Bennett. I mean, some of his actions have been rather puzzling. The fact that Ken Bennett would even listen to the extremists on the other side with the birth issue, the president's birth issue. That was rather odd that he would do that.
Maybe that's who he really is. Maybe that's his his orientation. I mean, look at the mess of the voting system here. And he's in charge of the voting system, and we have people waiting for weeks before we get a voting count and other problem.
Yeah, they seem to that element of the Republican Party seem to make it, not just in Arizona but nationally, make it more difficult for people to vote as opposed to making it easier. I mean, we keep hearing one particular state legislator from Northwest Phoenix in the Glendale area who sits on the election committee. She has twice in the past 2 weeks said that voting is a privilege and not necessarily a right, and that raises some eyebrows because there are a lot of folks who take a look at the Constitution and say, well, we have a right to vote. It's not it is a privilege, but it also is a right. And she's saying, no, it's not a right, it's just a privilege.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Which means that if it's a privilege, then it's a privilege that can be taken away from you.
Yeah, right.
Right, and that's rather troubling. Ken Bennett, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm sorry. We got to kind of squeeze in our. We got some supporting organizations here. We have Democrats of the Red Rocks, as we mentioned, as great responders to state issues. have their they do they have movies at the Sedona Library every month on the
Usually on the third Wednesday. It varies, folks. You can check on our website.
Great free movies
good,
at the library.
Good movies coming up. This next Thursday, the 23rd, we have Professor Glenn Phelps, and he's going to discuss the cases before the Supreme Court right now.
We have these speakers every month at breakfast at the old Sedona Bar and Grill.
So this is a sort of scholarly discussion, but yeah. It's fact-based, reality-based. Everybody is welcome to come to it. You don't have to be a Democrat. And Professor Phelps will tell us what's before the court.
And then Frank and his cohorts down at the Arizona Democratic Party start sending up their candidates, as the statewide candidates anyway, as they declare, and to our breakfasts. And it's always a great place to meet them, a great place to have direct contact with the political leaders of Arizona.
And we've had all the folks that Frank mentions on our radio show for interviews. What about Democrats of the Verde Valley, Mike? You want to put in a little
plug? We have the new Democratic candidate. Fred Duvall is coming to our fourth Thursday of the month meeting this month. And it's always at Randall's Restaurant on every fourth Thursday. And like I say, we have Fred Duvall on that'll be on the 21st. The 28th. Let me get the date right here. It'll be on the 28th. Fred Duvall coming to Cottonwood, Arizona on the 28th if you'd like to meet the new.
It is surprising, isn't it, Frank, that we already have people declaring, and it's February of 2013. It's not even 2014 yet. But that, you know, do they have to get going this early?
Yeah, they do. They got to get their they got to start getting their message out. They got to start getting their funding, their campaign financing. It is surprising, but I've heard some talk that some folks are saying about Dr. Carmona that if he doesn't make a decision, he has really just a couple of months left to really mount a serious campaign. That's how long it takes to get the strategy down, get the financing. That's just the reality of political life now, where it used to be just the House of Representatives were in perpetual reelection campaign mode.
No, it's everybody.
Because of the 2 years, their 2 year terms. Now I think it's pretty much anybody who runs for major state offices, you're running practically 2 years before the election.
On the Journalist Roundtable on Channel 8 last week, they kind of laughed at Jan Brewer's third term. I don't think this is laughable. Is Jan Brewer? Can you clear this up for us? Can Jan Brewer seek a third term?
Well, I'm not a constitutional lawyer, and I think there are going to be a lot of people who aren't going to be satisfied until it gets to court. But
I see.
Any reading, I have talked to some constitutional lawyers. Paul Bender from the Arizona School of Law has been quoted that their reading of the Constitution says that she is not eligible for a third term. And given the fact, during my reporting career, I've seen, starting with Governor Castro, I mean, this has happened quite frequently with the Arizona governorship, where the governors have not completed their terms, and their successors have not. Bruce Babbitt, for instance, when he took over for Wes Boland, when Mr. Boland passed away in office, conceivably under Jan Brewer's interpretation or her lawyer's interpretation, Bruce Babbitt could have run another term, but he did not.
Right.
No one has ever even talked about who's succeeded a sitting governor who's not completed his or her term. Not one of the successors has ever brought this issue up, except for Ms. Brewer. And I don't think she's really serious about it.
How's the Arizona Democratic Party doing, Frank? I mean, you're sitting down here. We're up here in northern Arizona. It looks pretty solid. How's the party doing?
Can we elect a Democratic governor? Can we do that?
Oh yeah. Arizona is going to turn blue. The only question is when.
Uh-huh.
Of course, we'd like to have seen Arizona turn blue
Sooner rather than later, right?
Yeah.
We want to live to see it up here in northern Arizona.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Just look at the demographics. You look at the trends and everything. Arizona is going to become blue. So, but there's challenges to that. We have to, as Democrats, really provide folks for a reason to be Democrats, because the Republicans are giving folks a lot of reasons not to be Republicans. And these folks are not going to become Democrats just to be Democrats, because there's no place for them to go. I mean, you look at the voting, the registered voters, and increasingly the largest segment are those, party not designated, right. Independent voters.
Right. Sedona has a reputation for being a Democratic town, but the Republicans actually have more registrations than Democrats do. It's up here, the independents vote Democratic, but they're still not participating in the Democratic Party, right? We haven't convinced them that it's worth participating.
We have to find out, as Democrats, we have to determine what that reason is, and then we have to respond to that. We have to figure out exactly what it is that we're doing right and what it is that we need to improve upon, and I think we have to give folks a good reason of why they should be Democrats. And for that, we have to really give them a definition of what it means to be a Democrat. We can't, when I send out the emails statewide, I like to always tell folks to remind them that, remain calm, remain, give folks, remember that Democrats are the rational people.
Yeah.
We're the ones who are offering common sense solutions to a lot of difficult problems, and that we are the party that can do something. We're not the party that says, no, we can't do this. We're the party that says, yes, we can do this.
Frank, we haven't got a lot of time left, but I do want to stir the pot here a little bit. And Terry,
go.
Yeah, here we go. And this is kind of airing. Yeah, Terry Goddard, Felicia Rodellini. Is Terry gonna? Is there going to be a primary fight between for Attorney General? Felicia Rodellini was up in Sedona just a week or so ago, and she's talking about. And I know she, for legal reasons, she can't declare, but she's talking about Attorney General of the state of Arizona. Is there going to be a primary battle between Terry Goddard and Felicia Rodellini?
I think that you have to. I don't know. We've heard that there could be. Mm-hmm. I know Terry is very enthused about his position on the Water Conservation Board. I think is the correct name. I'm not
sure,
quite sure. Yeah, the last time I talked to him about his, he said he was very enthusiastic about that.
That's good.
Whether or not he's going to run for Attorney General, I'm not sure. I think Terry being a political person that he is, I know he enjoyed being Attorney General. Yep. I know, and I think he was an excellent Attorney General.
Yep. Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, so I think he may, that's something he may want to do. But it also is something, hey, I've been there, done that.
That's
and
true.
He may not want to do it.
Are primaries, in your opinion, Frank, good for Democrats to have a strong primary, or is it better just to have a candidate and go into the general election? Because in Arizona, the primary and the general election are so close together. We got 1 minute.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's a good thing, because if anything else, if nothing else, what it shows people is that Democrats do have a deep bench.
There you go.
That's one of the arguments I've heard. One of the criticisms of the party is that we don't have a very deep bench, and in some cases, it's well justified. We don't, but the more Democrats we can put together, for instance, like in CD9, when we had three very good candidates in Journey, David Shapira, and Kyrsten Sinema.
Right.
That really caused a lot of good debate, a lot of exchanges of ideas.
It was great. It was really great to have those three candidates. Same, they're all in the same district.
Exactly.
Okay, we're wrapping it up here. We want to thank Frank Camacho, Arizona Democratic Party Communications Director. It was great to have you. And VVID.org. This is written in ink on the internet. VVID.org.
Been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.